Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Mr. Will Thomas from up in the Vancouver area. It's a little island off the coast of, is that in Puget Sound that you are, Will?
Well, I'm north of Puget Sound. In Canada, right across the line.
All right, fine. Well, Will Thomas is certainly one of the world's leading experts. In fact, he is the world's leading expert, at least on our side, on chemtrails. Now, what are chemtrails? Well, they are spraying, high-altitude spraying by planes, whether they're Air Force planes or CIA planes, we really don't know, although they seem to be Air Force planes, but sometimes they seem to be somehow related to the CIA. And here, at least in the Monterey Bay area, we've had a number of sprayings recently, but this is a phenomenon that is seen all over the country, indeed all over the world. And when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, this is just something they're trying to get us all stirred up about. It's not really real. Those are just contrails. But after a while, and after you've seen them, and then you see the reports of the planes going back and forth. Planes don't go back and forth across the sky. They go from point A to point B. But these are planes that are spraying. And, of course, it is top secret. The government just doesn't want us to know. So pick up the story. How did you get interested in this, Will?
I was assigned to this story, actually, by the Environment News Service, which is a worldwide wire service dealing with matters of environmental concern. They called me back in January 1999, asked me to look into a story they had just received from a Mr. William Wallace, living very remotely in the eastern mountains of Washington State. He and his wife reporting, as you've just mentioned, very large airplanes, often two or three, sometimes four and six of these planes, also very unusual to see that in any sky, going back and forth, spraying plumes that instead of dissipating quickly like contrails, he said lingered for hours, made he and his wife sick, their animals sick, even plants in their garden started to die. And I have to say that, like you, I was initially quite skeptical over this story. Having been a pilot myself, having served in the military, I thought I knew what contrails were, and I thought I knew what was going on in our skies.
All right, but then, of course, I'm sure you've seen them, you've seen the pictures of them, you've seen the material coming down. In fact, somebody, even one of our close friends, brought us pictures of one of their trees. Almost looked like it had been decorated for Christmas with the white sticky strips going all up and down it from the spraying that had taken place earlier that day. And here in Santa Cruz seems to be a target area, doesn't it, Monterey Bay?
I'd say that you have quite an opportunity for listeners to go outside and view for themselves what we are talking about. And if you give it enough time, I'm willing to bet you will see a contrail, very thin, and a chemtrail in the same sky at the same time. That's very convincing.
All right. Well, right now, of course, it's a beautiful day, and I don't see any evidence of it. Apparently, we've had some spraying this last few weeks. Did you get down here to look at that? I know you were thinking about coming.
I've been down twice to Santa Cruz. I actually have a couple of photographs on my website of trails I possibly identified as chemtrails.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Will Thomas. We'll get the website, and you'll be fascinated by this program because somebody is doing something, one of those mysteries that they don't want the American people to understand. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Will Thomas, and Will is talking about chemtrails, and he has certainly been studying this for, about 4 years now. He's collected a tremendous amount of information. Website has all sorts of pictures, and if you're skeptical, well, just keep your eyes at the sky, and one of these days you're going to see them, and you'll realize that this is a reality now. What are these planes? Where are they coming from? What do we know about them?
I've worked with a radio reporter on the East Coast named S.T. Brent, affiliated with ABC News, and together, though I must say primarily on her initiative, we have found a source, highly placed manager of air traffic control on the northeastern seaboard of the United States, and he and other air traffic controllers at the busiest airports throughout America have confirmed that on their radar scopes, and by the way, we've corroborated this here in Canada with radar sightings in Edmonton. I've talked to the gentleman who was looking at the scope that day. All agree that these are positively identified as military aircraft and further U.S. Air Force tankers. They know this because these planes generally fly in commanded airspace, that is, airspace given over to their exclusive use, and airliners are being brought in under orders below these chemtrail planes because the emanations that are visible on radar, that are seen daily by air traffic controllers, put a haze on the scope that makes it a little difficult to see other aircraft unless they're lower than that haze line. So that's what the controllers are telling us. We have photographs and videotape positively identifying these aircraft as KC-135 tankers and a few KC-10. These are variations of civilian airliners converted for military use. The U.S. Air Force is now flying, they tell us on their web, some 700 tanker planes around the world. So they certainly have enough fleet to put material into the air, if that indeed are their orders. Are we on air? Hello? Hello?
Oh, this is Dr. Stan, and we were just talking about how the information has come out now that the Boeing was going to lease all these aircraft to the Air Force and rather than buy them, and Boeing was going to make an extra $8 million or so, and of course it all had to do with a trumped-up deal. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here with Will Thomas, and apparently what had happened is the chairman of Boeing had worked out a sweetheart deal with this woman who was working for the Air Force. She was negotiating with the Boeing company for the Air Force so that they would would lease all these tankers, and Boeing would end up with the planes after they'd been paid for, and then she was going to go to work for Boeing, and so that's exactly what happened. They negotiated the deal. She went to work for Boeing, and then somebody on the staff of Boeing said, you know, this is immoral. I mean, this is illegal. This is a conflict of interest to have somebody negotiate with Boeing who's coming to work for Boeing. And that's what happened. So they were both forced to resign. But I just wondered why the government needs another 80 tankers when they already have 700, unless those tankers are right now being used for some other purpose.
Yes, I tend to agree with you. Of course, we know some of the other purposes are bombing people in countries around the world, and the military, that is the U.S. military and Air Force, have said in official reports ever since Kosovo, in fact, that they were stretched too thin in Kosovo, they were stretched too thin in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they simply do not have enough tankers to go around and prosecute the wars that Mr. Bush seems to want to have all the time, and, as you say, rightly so, and fulfill other missions. We have got reports and some photographs from some 14 allied nations reporting chemtrails in their skies. And I just had a fascinating visit with two Italian filmmakers who flew over here to Canada to interview me for a documentary in Italian on chemtrails. And they have just left Santa Cruz. I sent them down there to get some first-hand shots and talk to the American side of the border and see what's going down. there, but they're very concerned, and they said this is a concern across Europe. They are hoping to bring this to the attention of the European Union, the Parliament there, and get them to protest chemtrails and make it a worldwide issue, just as they earlier condemned the HAARP energy weapon up in Alaska.
And the thing is, it doesn't seem to matter what the American people feel, what the Europeans feel. There is a force, there is a government that is above the rest of the government, and they have all of these experiments, or maybe it isn't an experiment, maybe it's some sort of a program, and the question is, what is the program? What are they spraying, and why are they doing it? And certainly, Will Thomas has some very, very strong views on that, so I'm going to let him develop that concept. The question is, Will, what do we know about what they're spraying, and why would they be doing it?
Well, certainly there are a lot of hypotheses out, especially on the Internet, a lot of theories, and rightly so, because the government is not coming forward. They deny this is taking place. We see it with our own eyes. Our families are getting sick. We know something's going on. And if people are getting sick around us, we tend to suspect the very worst, and those are some of the theories. As a journalist, I can only go on evidence and flag what is speculation. What we know definitely, talking to the controllers, is again, this is an ongoing Air Force program. The controllers are told this is weather modification, and then they are told later, oh well, actually it's climate modification experiments. This seems to dovetail quite well with the Hughes patent that an environmental consultant named Mike Castle pulled out a few years ago. 1991, patent issued to the biggest aerospace country in the world, at least one of the biggest, to spread reflectant material in the upper atmosphere for the reduction of global warming, is what the patent actually reads. And it said, we may have a problem because of the visual whitening appearance of the sky, and people might get upset about losing their blue skies. But they said if we put aluminum oxide in very very small particular sizes of 10 microns, a tenth the diameter of a human hair, we put these microscopic particles of aluminum oxide, not refined aluminum, but just the raw, almost like sand, spray it, put it in the fuel so that it comes out through the engines, and we'll be able to lay out artificial clouds and protect people from ultraviolet radiation, from the disintegrating ozone layer, which, by the way, is now at record levels over the South Pole and also opening up over the North Pole. And we can reflect enough sunlight, according to Edward Teller, who started promoting this scheme in 1998 very aggressively as a sunscreen, and we can stop global warming in its tracks.
And at least this is one of the theories, that what they're doing is actually creating a reflective shield. Now, we don't know whether that's true. I mean, there are other theories that maybe there's trials to release sort of a bacteriological agent in the future. There's some people, and I've heard this from at least three separate sources in the military, that's vaccination, but I know you don't agree with that. Do you want to tell why you do not believe that this could be the vaccination that some people in the military have been told? This is what it's about.
Well, that's a very good cover story, and it makes us feel safe and protected. Very quickly, having written on biological warfare and produced a book on Gulf War illness called Bringing the War Home, it's quite evident that, one, you cannot protect against a biological attack, particularly if you don't know what that attack is going to be. You can't obviously vaccinate generically against all the bioweapons, and the bioweaponers, the terrorists, in fact, can change the mix literally overnight and defeat your vaccine. So I'm very skeptical. First of all, they're very dangerous, these vaccines, and I'm skeptical in their ability to protect people. More importantly, the doctors I've talked to and others say, listen, there is simply not enough vaccine on the planet for anthrax, smallpox, the big terror weapons of choice, not enough to fill any of these tankers completely. They hold 320,000 gallons of chemical or fuel for refueling aircraft, let alone 700 planes, 4.5 years. There is not enough vaccine on the planet. That makes sense to me. They say you don't spread vaccine from 35,000 feet. It would be absolutely ineffective by the time it reached ground level and was so dispersed. And you don't target the right people. It's very random, so you don't know who's getting a large dose, who's getting a smaller or no dose. It just doesn't seem to track as a method of spraying vaccines. Now, I will back up a big step here and say that Maxygen has just received a $6 million contract, well, about a year ago, in fact, from the Pentagon to develop vaccines delivered by spores. Now, this is very different. I don't believe they've just got the contract, so I don't think it's been done for 4 years. But this is very different. If you could put a vaccine in a spore, that spore would be impervious to the ultraviolet sunlight. That would ruin a vaccine in daylight if it was just sprayed from a plane, protects it, and would give it protection for a number of years. So this maybe is a possibility down the road. But for right now, we have simply too many aircraft flying too high to make vaccines a plausible explanation.
Well, I think the important thing for our listeners to understand that they put out disinformation. In other words, they put out these cover stories to confuse people. It's like the Kennedy assassination. I've got about 20 books, each one written by somebody who tracked down the assassins, and each one tells a different story. Yes. And so many of these people are directly related to the Central Intelligence Agency. What are they doing? They're confusing the American people. It's a standard technique. Give them so much information, they can't figure out what's going on. So, and I think that that's what they're doing with the chemtrails, and it may well be that Will Thomas is right, that this is some sort of an experiment to reflect sunlight to deal with global warming. But it's happening all over the developed world. Now, is it happening in Australia and New Zealand as well?
I have no evidence of New Zealand. I do have evidence that is very powerful eyewitness accounts that corroborate each other and photographs from the Byron Bay region of Australia on its west coast, I believe southwest coast. So yes to Australia, no to New Zealand, no to Mexico, South America. We have found this to be a matter of allied nations, primarily European and North American nations, with Australia added. But no one in the former Soviet Union has reported this, and they are up on the web quite often. No one from Asia. We don't have anything confirmed. Throughout the British Isles, from London to Scotland to Ireland, we have photographs and accounts. So we're pretty sure this is an allied agreement, most likely among military leaders.
Now, what about the composition of this? Have you been able to have any of this analyzed, any of this product? Because I've actually seen this, this young man who collected it off the trees, brought it up in a bag, and I really, if I thought of it, I would have shipped it to you, but then I probably would have gotten into trouble for shipping something that might be a bioproduct across the international boundary. So what do we know about this? And if we were ever to get our hands on another specimen of it, how would we get it analyzed?
Those are very good questions. First of all, be very careful. Wear at least a gauze mask. This isn't super bio warfare, but I believe this stuff can make you quite ill. A gauze mask, plastic gloves. If you can get it off a windshield or glass that's clean, metal containers that are clean, glass is best. You can scrape some into a sterile jar, and you can get it lab tested. Those labs are in the Yellow Pages in every big city in the United States. Not a problem there. The money, I'm told, to test for barium is very small. I'd be very interested in testing for barium and aluminum oxide, and apparently it's not much money. Now, if we want to test for organics, that is living compounds or pathogens, things that make us sick, that costs bigger bucks. And frankly, we have not seen anything like that in the high-level or chemtrail spraying. There's a separate low-level program. It's almost a separate show. But the chemtrails, I believe, are dangerous. I believe they do contain very harmful bacteria and fungi, not intentionally, but the effect on our bodies and our health is the same as if it was.
And what you believe is they're just being brought down from the stratosphere and atmosphere where they ordinarily exist, and they're being brought down to Earth where they don't belong. Is that it?
That is absolutely right.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Will Thomas. And, of course, if you'd like to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 464-8295. I'll ask Mike, who's calling, to hang on till we get through the break, and we'll be right back after this series of commercial announcements.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000.
Alimax. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you that a little bit about the Phenopoly games we carry. This is designed by my good friend Myrna Culbraith to teach your children and your grandchildren and perhaps you how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. As you know, they've dumbed down our children fairly well in our schools, and you can see that in the reading scores. It didn't happen by accident. They know what they're doing. They don't want smart kids. They don't want kids who can read well or think well or even think properly with the right side of their brain. They want people who go along with the system, the New World Order, the New World Religion, and be so wrapped up in all sorts of other things they won't be concerned about the progressive loss of freedom. Well, if you'd like to learn more about Phenopoly, why it's 5 board games, 2 bonus games. You play it just like Monopoly, but within 16 hours you can undo all of the problems that the government has created in the minds of your children. And of course, most of these programs cost $400, $500, $600. You can get this one for $139.95 plus shipping. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Phenopoly. I really can convince you won't be sorry if you do. And then for other presents for Christmas, one of the best books we have is Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, put out by Dr. Russell Blaylock. And it just goes into the nutrition and what you need to know about disease and really how to prevent it and how to begin to protect yourself from all the various pesticides and herbicides that are out there and how to preserve your arteries. And Health and Nutrition Secrets is a great secret. And we have a 4-tape set that goes with that. You can get the book by itself or the 4-tape set by itself. But I suggest you get you both of them. The tape set is called Life-Saving Secrets. That's Life-Saving Secrets. Dr. Blaylock has another book out on Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. That's Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. We also have a book called Excitotoxins he wrote, go into the background of aspartame and MSG. And there's a 4-tape set that goes with that. So give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Makes wonderful Christmas gifts. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and well, you've certainly done a good job of getting my my board lit up by like a Christmas tree. So let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. Question or comment?
A couple things. I've got a sample of that stuff if you want it. I got it in my trunk. It's a cobwebby thing.
Yeah, well, I've seen it.
There was a bunch of it. This one was hanging off a street sign. I just picked it off with a stick and stuck in a plastic bag and don't know what to do with it since. Of course, I don't feel like going through the expense of the lab analysis,
is there any place it could be sent here in the United States without getting into trouble with the postal authorities?
I have no idea. Well, you know, you read
I'm asking Bill. Well,
I'm not sure that it's a good idea to ship this through the mail just for the safety of our postal workers, frankly. But since you are in Santa Cruz, I recommend you try the university there, their chem bio department. See if you can get someone to have a look at it through an electron microscope or do some preliminary just to let you know that no, it's not spider webs, and no, it's not anything normal. That's a first step, and it shouldn't cost a penny, except for your time and the phone call. That's one way to proceed. Now, what you're describing sounds to me very much like the polymer I mentioned earlier in another context. I talked to Bernard Eastland, who was the inventor and patent holder on HARP, the high-energy weapon up in Alaska, and put it to him that if Air Force planes sprayed a polymer behind them in the atmosphere, could this interact with HARP? And he said, that's an interesting question. There are two companies in Ohio near Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which is responsible for the HARP project, all the Tesla technology. He said, these companies make polymers that can be tuned to the exact radio frequency of HARP. What does all this mean? It means that if you spray this in the atmosphere and hit it with HARP, this is speculation, hit it with HARP, you could actually warm the lower weather-forming atmosphere. And I asked Bernard Eastland, what was your thought when you designed this and came up with this idea? And he said, weather modification is our primary goal, but they want to move the jet streams around and the ionosphere and alter weather on a massive scale.
Would he be willing to do a radio interview, do you think?
I bet he would. He's down in Texas.
All right, I'll give you a call off the air, and we'll see if we can get him on. Anything else you want to ask, Mike?
Yeah, Will was talking earlier about chemtrails in Asia. Well, the lady, Susan, that you two had on a week or so ago, remember that evening program?
Right.
Her website was chemtrails911.something.org or whatever. She's got a photo of over Iraq, I think during the war it was, a satellite photo, very interesting to look at. Actually, I think several images, little chemtrails.
Okay,
these
fine.
Kind of patterns we're used to seeing here.
Sure, anything else, Mike?
That's it, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to Dave calling from Illinois, but let's get your website out there, Will.
Thank you. It is Will Thomas, willthomas.net.
WillThomas.net. So that's www.willthomas.net. And let's go to Dave from Illinois. Hi, Mike. Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen. I first heard of chemtrails a number of years ago, back in the 90s, on talk radio. But I finally seen them in Central Illinois a couple of years ago. And what they are is, you know, I've been watching, I've always loved airplanes. I've been watching jets fly ever since I was a kid. And what I've seen is a jet will go overhead. And it's, you know, when I've always just thought it was an exhaust trail, you know. It just doesn't disappear. It just lingers and lingers and sometimes expands and forms clouds. Now, the one thing I haven't seen is the stuff floating down. That hasn't happened, and I haven't seen the stuff floating down. But I've seen that, but I have definitely seen these, again, I just call them exhaust trails. That's what I've always thought they were, that don't disappear.
No, Dave,
I'd
never seen the stuff floating down either until recently, and we have pictures of it on trees, and we even have a brown paper bag full of it, but I don't know what to do with it. So there's something there. You're just going to, you know, it took me a long time even to believe that these things existed, but they do. So they're up to something, and they're not going to tell us common folks because they're so much smarter than we are, and they're going to modify the weather, and they're going to rule the world, and they're going to play God, and we just care to get in the way.
Yeah, a couple more quick comments here.
Sure.
You know, the people, I've talked to a few skeptics about it and told them about it around here, and I tell them, you know, I've been watching planes since I was 7 years old or younger, and I've never seen that phenomena. You know, I tell people, I'm not sure what it is, but that didn't used to happen. You know, up until recently, this trail just disappeared. Well, that is definitely a different phenomena. And the other comment I want to make is that, you know, to understand the fact that the media is totally suppressing this story in HARP, it's proof of how useless our disgusting media is.
Right. Well, we have a four-tape set on HARP. We have a four-tape set on contrails, which we suggest. And anyway, is your book out on chemtrails yet, Will?
Yes, it's in its fourth edition. I'm just about to come out with a fifth edition of Chemtrails Confirmed, brand new book.
All right, fine. Anything else, David?
That's all. Just keep the good work up.
God bless. Thanks so very much. And we'll be back here in just a moment or two with our special guest this afternoon. And of course, welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'll ask Roger Pielzor to hang on there for us.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention that we have a four-tape set on chemtrails. We have a four-tape set on a HAARP, the High Altitude Auroral Research Project, and this is a weather modification tool. And you wonder why we have the problems we do? There are people who are playing God. Now, if you don't think that they will experiment on the American people, we have a report that came out from the Veterans Administration. We call it the Rockefeller Report because it came out of the name of J. Rockefeller. And it talks about the well over 100,000 Americans who've been experimented on without our knowledge or consent. We know we sent our boys off to the Gulf War, in 1990, 1991. Over between 2 and 400,000 of them have a permanent disability. And the government's denying there even is Gulf War syndrome. And we know that higher incidence of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease among these boys, and there's so many things going on that they're just lying to us about. And let me suggest that if you'd like to get the Rockefeller Committee report, or the four-tape set on chemtrails, or the four-tape set on HAARP, they're all available by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. In fact, we have tape sets on just about anything you might imagine that will help you to understand the true spiritual nature of what we're up against. We have a four-tape set on Satanism. We have a four-tape set on Aleister Crowley. Who was Aleister Crowley? Why, he was a 33rd degree Mason, who after 12 years was invited to go into the upper echelons of Masonry. And there, of course, he got into Frank Satanism. And we have Masons serving in our courts all across America today. And you wonder why the courts can suddenly find that sodomy is all right, and they can suddenly find that Christianity is bad, and that public officials can't talk about it. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Will Thomas. Will, how can people get hold of copies of your book?
The best way right now is to go online, because my own 800 number is down.
All right.
So they can go online to willthomas.net, and there are various ways to order direct from myself or out on the East Coast. There is a distributor for my book.
All right. Well, let's go right now to Roger, who's patiently waiting from Allentown. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi. Thanks, folks. And John Statman, who's new from just last week, says he has a new quality lead from a microbiologist, claims he discovered, of all things, flu virus in chemtrail droppings. I think he said he had info on that on intel123.com.
Okay, and Will, have you heard anything at all about that?
No, my ears went up, and I appreciate that information, because of course, the symptoms of chemtrail-related illness are a severe flu. People say a flu-like illness that they've never experienced in their lives. The one difference I'll point out, though, is that with a flu, of course, we get an intense fever. That's one sign of a severe flu. With chemtrail illness, in fact, our body temperature goes down and we do not get a fever. That's really the telltale. If your body temperature drops slightly, it's often the sign of a fungal infection. And Dr. Stan, we were talking about that earlier, how these chemtrails could very well be, according to the two scientists working on that project, at least the barium part of chemtrails at Wright-Patterson, agreed with me that these materials could be bringing down pathogenic, sick-making bacteria, virus, fungi from the upper atmosphere. That would give us some of the symptoms, including neurological symptoms that we're seeing, short-term memory loss, inability to concentrate, things like that, not from aluminum oxide, which is inert, but from the fungal component inadvertently brought down by these chemtrails. And of course, we need to put quotes around the word inadvertently, don't we? Because if a government or a military knows that what they are doing is making people very ill on a massive scale and continues to do it, at that point, of course, it is intentional.
Well, I think that people have to go back and read Machiavelli. The whole idea of Machiavelli, the prince, was how you control the population. You have to have an enemy, you have to have a war, and then you lie to the people. But that's what the prince does, because he is to be the leader. And we have this mentality, we've gotten away from the idea of limited government, individual freedom, towards this idea that we will have a ruling authority and there'll be an enemy, and then we can get the people to give up their freedom, because the wicked Osama bin Laden may come down the chimney, or he may send his terrorists, or the wicked Osama bin Laden, who we just never can seem to find. He's sort of ethereal. And those of you who haven't read that wonderful book, Crude Politics, about how when our boys went over, the special forces went over to Afghanistan to capture the wicked Osama bin Laden, they weren't allowed to. Gee, I wonder why. We have a clipping, anybody who wants to get a copy of it, out of the Washington Post, where a high official is quoted as saying, "We never went to get Osama bin Laden. Our policy was never Osama bin Laden first. It was Osama bin Laden last, because if we had captured Osama, how would we justify this war in Afghanistan?" And of course, although they don't say it, the war was really all about putting the pipeline through. It was never about getting Osama bin Laden, because if you go up on the internet and put in Dubai and Osama bin Laden, you find out CIA was meeting Osama 2 months before 9/11. And you read the article out of the French newspaper and Le Figaro, and they think, they point out, it is commonly believed in Europe, Osama bin's working for the CIA all along. I'm not saying it's true. Let's go to Ken from Watsonville. Ken, what are your thoughts?
Okay, I'm disabled out of the plastics industry. I was quality assurance supervisor, that we created angel hair when our dyes overheated when they weren't running the extruders. But the thing is, one day I came home, and it was probably 1974 or 75, and it happened three times altogether in the 70s, I believe, because that's what it said in the paper. The stuff was hanging on the freeway fence here at Buena Vista and Watson and Highway 1, and I touched that, and the next morning I could not get up to go to work. My brain could not command the body to move, but for whatever it was, but it was in direct line. Basically, Highway 1, and it was in the newspaper telling about it, it was in line from NASA Ames going to the Monterey Presidio. In other words, I know about NASA Ames because of my cousin being there in some of the stuff. But the aluminum, in one of the toxicology books that uses the United States government agencies as such, states the things that aluminum does to you, including the brain dysfunctions and DNA problems, and cell division problems, and on, that the toxicology book Chemical Exposure and Human Health may, if Will doesn't recognize it, has brought together the agencies, including the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, that studied the chemicals in the Superfund sites, and they've got a list of the things as such.
Will feels this is a different form of aluminum. Would you like to address what Ken was saying there, Will?
Yes, I really appreciate Ken's comments, and it sounds like he's having quite a lot of difficulty with his ailment, so I really appreciate the effort you're making, Ken, if you can stay with us. I don't disagree the problem toxicity of aluminum. What we are told, and what we found in our samples, was aluminum oxide, which I...
This is aluminum oxide here.
Now, that's what you're quoting from the toxicology book.
It lists various aluminum compounds, including aluminum oxide.
Okay, well, I really appreciate that information.
Would you like to have the ISBN number?
I'll tell you
actually
what.
I'd actually like a website, or maybe get in touch with you by email.
I cannot handle be around plastics for computers. I mean, the vinyl chloride is what's poisoning me the worst.
Well, yes. Ken, could you go to Will Thomas's website and you can
have a computer.
All right, fine. But then you call my 800 number and I will and leave your telephone number and I'll get it to Will. Okay.
Okay. What is the
800-544-8927? That's 1-800-5-HIV. Or you wanted to tell you what. Ken, why don't you call us back here, and my wife will take your number, and then we'll get it to Will. How's that?
That's fine.
Okay, you know our number here. It's 464-8295.
Yes.
God bless. Thanks so much. Well, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are very, very concerned, and obviously Ken is having a lot of trouble. And a lot of the people who did work with these plastics, a lot of people who have been working for our computer industry with these at IBM are having terrible, terrible problems today, you know, simply because of the exposure to these rare types of chemicals they were forced to work with. But the thing that really bothers me is, could they be just doing an experiment with something else in mind later on, do you think?
Well, of course, you know, in military budgets, if we can get two or three for the price of one, we'll go for it. So I am open to the suggestion that the military can piggyback other operations on this chemtrail project. The spray itself seems to change in color and consistency in various times and locations. We know there's a barium aspect to this where the Air Force has an official program. It's been going for years, spraying chemtrails behind airplanes with barium in order to bounce radio and radar waves over the horizon. That's the Wright-Patterson aspect here, perhaps even a HAARP aspect for the chemtrails. So there's at least two different programs under the rubric chemtrail. And yes, indeed, there could be a third. And it's not beyond imagination, not even my imagination, Dr. Stan, that if airplanes were covering an area, something, a component, bacteriological or otherwise, could be added to that mix and experiments followed up on the ground to see who got sick. This is a pattern we saw over 50 years of open-air biological testing on the American, Canadian, and British people. Those tests were usually done over a weekend or maybe 5 days, and then the experts would go in disguise and see who got sick and who went to hospital. They're not done daily for years at a time. They're controlled experiments. Nevertheless, we are the lab rats in the experiment.
Yes, I remember in the period following the Second World War, they spread Sarissa. Sprayed it off the coast, and then the onshore winds would carry it into San Francisco and down to Palo Alto, and all sorts of people got very sick, and one gentleman died, and they eventually were able to attribute it directly to that, but the government spent millions of dollars to keep from paying the survivors a few hundred thousand dollars for killing their father with this experiment. And the same thing has happened in Southern California. Some of this is covered in this book, the Rockefeller Report, inexpensive little pamphlet. Call the Rockefeller Report, available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And I hope you feel very safe to know that the government has gone up into the frozen tundra to dig up graves where people had died with this terrible disease, this terrible flu back in 1918. And now they've reconstituted that a disease which has been completely totally eradicated in the world. But now we've reconstituted it, and you wonder why they're doing things like that. Why would they want to bring back such terrible, terrible diseases? Well, let's go to Dale, who's calling from Soquel. If you'll just pass screen Dale through, why we'll go to Dale. Well, my producer won't screen Dale through, so we'll have to wait and get to Dale in just a moment or two. Our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY, if you're out there listening. Again, our guest is Will Thomas. His website is www.willthomas.net. And we've got Dale on. Hi, Dale. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Hopefully I don't drop out here. I'm over in Aptos, but I'm wondering, Mr. Thomas, if you're aware of, sure you are, of the website Carnicom.com and possibly your opinion on what they have to say about white blood cells being contained within the stringy web that's coming down, reportedly coming down from the chemtrails.
Let's get that name of the website again.
Carnicom.com.
How do you spell that? Carnicom.
Carnicom.com.
All right. Have you ever heard of that, Will?
Oh, yes. I know Clifford personally. I've met him. I've been down to Santa Fe on two occasions. I met with Mr. Carnicom. I've talked to him on the phone. I'm aware of his website and his recent postings. I have an article on my website I posted two nights ago regarding Mr. Carnicom and some very unfounded attacks on his work. My difficulty with him, and I've said this to him personally because I wouldn't say it on the air otherwise, and he's quite aware of this, by the way, is that, as he admits, the so-called white blood cells, the red blood cells, he reports seen under electron microscope, are being observed by people totally inexperienced with electron microscopes and with what these cells look like. And medical people have written in and said that work with these cells under high magnification and said the pictures on his website do not at all act like red blood cells, and or white blood cells for that matter. It'd be very, very hard to pick them up in HEPA filters, as he says he has done so. Obviously, there's something in the photographs. I and others have asked Clifford Garnicum to please get them lab tested. He obviously has good samples to look at. Take them to a lab, very simple to test for a blood cell component, and then let us know with a certified lab result. In the last year or more, that hasn't happened. So I'm open to it, but I'm not convinced that that evidence is conclusive.
Anything else, Dale?
That's great. Thank you very much,
okay,
sir. God bless you.
And you too. Bye-bye. And the problem we have is we get all these conflicting reports, and some of these may be put out by very, very well-meaning people, and some of them may be disinformation specialists, and we really don't know.
I'll vouch for Clifford personally.
All right, you think he's a good guy?
Yeah, he sincerely believes what he's putting out. I don't believe the gentleman is qualified to be saying what he is saying. And this, you know, our atmosphere is so loaded with hysteria and fear, and again, rightly so. But I think we have to be very careful as information providers that we don't unnecessarily add to that fear without proof.
All right, fine. So that's Garnicum.com. Go there, but then look at it with a jaundiced eye, because of course the one thing we do not want to do is, as Will says, is put out information that really is inaccurate. Now, as far as this whole idea of this being done to control global warming, what you're suggesting is by laying out this this area of reflection, are they able to reflect back? Light, and how much light can we actually reflect back? It doesn't seem like we'd be reflecting that much.
No, the computer simulations run by Ken Caldera, who I talked with, by the way, at Lawrence Livermore National Lab under the auspices of the late Dr. Edward Teller, said 1% would be enough, but that is still a huge amount of sunlight to reflect. They said it will take 10 million tons, if you can get your head around that, 10 million tons of these particulates. And I'm saying that we don't want to breathe this stuff regardless of what's in it. The very fine particulate sizes and the quantities being dumped are extreme human health hazards. Not my words. Those are the direct quotes of the Environmental Protection Agency, who tells us 10 microns and smaller can cause extreme, even lethal human health effects, even if the material is sand and not toxic in itself. So I'm very concerned at the amount. But they said 1% would do the job. Ken Caldera hoped that it would be proven false in the computer, said the computer says that it works. I say it's not working. If this is the argument put forward, it's getting worse. The weather's getting much worse. Climate change seems to be accelerating. The Larsen C ice shelf is about to let go. That's the last big one down there that's floating on the ocean. So we have a problem. We have just a couple of minutes left here. Say very strongly that, in case your listeners think, well, they're basically trying to help us out and protect the environment and let us drive our cars as much as we want, this is not, underline, not a good thing. As we've said continuously, it appears to make people and animals, perhaps even plant life, very, very ill, and it changes local weather by changing the cloud cover and the heat balance. It has effects on climate change. We suspect that these artificial overcasts actually trap heat. They do not release it, but they actually trap it. We know from Ken Caldera that the high-altitude aircraft, whether it's a jetliner or a fleet of Air Force tankers, a squadron putting out this material, their own engines tear up the ozone layer drastically, so these tankers are not helping. And he said if they cool off the stratosphere with this junk, they can actually destroy the ozone layer of planet Earth. So there is nothing, repeat, nothing good about this project, whatever they're doing.
Now, did he admit that this was going on, or was he just speculating?
He did not admit that it was going on. He said he had no knowledge of it. He said as someone directly involved with the studies, he would know whether it was going on or not. He said he had no knowledge of that. And he said something interesting. He said, no Lawrence Livermore scientists are working on this project right now, because he would know. And I said, that's interesting. I've just talked to two of them, and they are at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base working on barium chemtrails right now, and they've gone public with their story in Columbus Alive magazine.
All right, fine. Well, we're out of time. What's your parting thought for our listeners, Will?
Parting thought very quickly is, please, do whatever you need to do legally, nonviolently. Take your government back. Take your Constitution back for America's sake and for the world's sake and our children's sake.
God bless you. Thanks very much, Will. We'll call you later with that telephone number. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be right back here to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty.
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, What Really Happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, What Really Happened.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention that some of the other items we are carrying here at Radio Liberty, which we, of course, hope that many of you might be interested in. We do carry the Berkey filters, both the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light filters. The Big Berkey is made of stainless steel. You pour a couple of gallons in the top. It comes out the bottom after going through ceramic filters that are packed with activated charcoal, a great means of purifying or cleaning up the water so you can drink pool or lake or river water. And certainly these have been used for 150 years by missionaries. The Big Berkey is $239.95, and it's available in every state except Idaho and California. Now, the Berkey Light is available in every state, but Iowa, and the Berkey Light is made of Lexan, so you can see the water levels. The filters are black Berkey. Their filters are much more efficient than the ceramic filters, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years. Now, neither filter will take out fluoride, and if you've got fluoride in your water, you don't want to be drinking it. And if you have any question about what I'm saying, you need to get our 4-tape set on water fluoridation, and of course we can give you references to all sorts of scientific papers which your dentists and your doctors are never allowed to read, to show the carcinogenic effect of the fluoride and how it attacks fertility. And they're using it for population control because they know that areas with fluoridated water, why there's a lower fertility rate. That's what it's about. That's what almost everything is about, is controlling the population. Well, anyway, the Berkey Light is $199.95, and if you get either filter through Radio Liberty, you get a 4-tape set or a video we produce. Call us at 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here. And this is the time when we just want to mention to our listeners, Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out across America 5 hours a day on radio, on shortwave, on the Internet, by satellite. And we have an opportunity to reach so many people through our Saturday program, which goes to 35 stations, and through our daily programs, which are on a number of different networks, but it's all expensive. So if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get a copy of our newsletter. If you'd like to get it free of charge, just give us a call, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll be glad to send you a free copy of our newsletter. We do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to getting some of the books that we have, wonderful Christmas presents. I think one of the best ones that you could give would be Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And you can get with that a four-tape set, Life-Saving Secrets separately, or get the tape set by itself. If you're only going to get one thing, get Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Dr. Blaylock has two other books. One of them is called Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills, going into the background of MSG, and of the aspartame. We have a four-tape set that goes with that one. And then he has a new book out on natural strategies for cancer patients. You can just call and ask for the cancer book. Oh, there, you can get them all by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Then we hope many of you have children or grandchildren, or maybe even you yourself have difficulty reading and spelling and pronouncing words properly. Let me suggest a Phenopoly set. These are ordinarily $400, $500, $600, $800. A Phenopoly is $139.95. It's five board games played like Monopoly. And, of course, we throw in a couple of books. There are two bonus games in addition to the five games. Phenopoly is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. It's loads of fun, but, of course, in about 16 hours, you can undo all of the harm that the government schools have done in deliberately dumbing down your children or your grandchildren. And I've had older people, 50, 60 years old, call me and thank me because they've learned so much from this game. So if you'd like to get a Phenopoly set, especially at this time of year, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Let me mention we carry a miracle to... let me mention that we... the Institute of the Constitution, which is designed to teach you or your friends or people in your church about America's Constitution, about our Christian heritage. That's the most carefully kept secret in America. They don't want you to know we were formed by Christians as a Christian country. They want you to believe there's a wall of separation between church and state because the wicked and evil people who are out there want to destroy our freedom. They know that freedom and religion are inseparable. Destroy religion, you destroy freedom. That human societies are like human beings, live by faith. And when faith dies, human societies die and are replaced by dictatorships. And that's what it's all about. So if you'd like to get more information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Or if you'd like to learn about the Institute of the Constitution, call 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. Get this books and the videos and watch them yourself. You'll learn. And then you, of course, can help to get to other people with the truth about the fact that America was formed as a Christian nation and there are people out there who would destroy it. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it or get the Brotherhood of Darkness special by calling 1-800-544-8927 and then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.